Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and we are archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we, as I said, archive the programs. We also link to our guests. We'll be giving you the website to our guest's location so that you can get more information about what she is all about and the work that she is doing. We certainly encourage you to do that. We're looking forward to today's program because today we're going to be talking with Courtney Amundson, and hopefully I pronounced that correctly, Courtney, and a book called Teachings from God, Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within. And thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure
to be here.
It's really interesting because one of the things that I really enjoy talking about is when people put together and bring forth information, especially when it comes to the divine. It is said that that's where we come from, and that's who we're trying, what we're trying to connect to, and that's where we're going to at the end of this existence. And it's always nice to have. It is said, Courtney, that there is no manual. Okay, owner's manual, if you will, or operations manual for this life. There will be those who claim that this book and that book are, and maybe people come across certain books that they say, if I was stranded on a desert island, this would be the only book that I would ever use. I don't know that that's necessarily true even with your work, but the information contained within is, well, I think that it can be very, very helpful for folks, and I want to talk a little bit about that today. So the first thing is, how did you, so to speak, and I say this more metaphorically, how did you get your hands on these teachings?
Yeah, well, it's a really beautiful story and one that I really never expected would happen to me. My plan for my life was to become a classical violinist and go to Juilliard, and I was really set on that from a young age. And so when my spiritual life started to really ramp up and I started with this whole journey, and I'll go into that, my motivations really just flip-flopped, and I am now really dedicating my life to spreading this work and teaching, and it's been really amazing. But this really opened up for me when I was 16, and I was very involved in my spiritual life at that point, and I was dedicating a lot of time to studying Qigong and learning how to be my own healer and how to heal other people. And so I was very energy sensitive from a young age and very empathic, and so that helped me to be more tuned in to the more subtle realms, so that which is outside of our physical perceptions as human beings. And I was very interested in The Secret, the Law of Attraction, and so all of these ideas were kind of percolating within me, and I was trying to figure out answers to these things, and I wasn't finding them in school. And so I learned that the answers are within us, and so that's when I really began investing a lot of time in a meditation practice. And one day, it was March 12, 2012, I sat down to do a meditation, and I felt something very different. And it was this golden, liquid light, angelic presence that came through my body. And it's hard to describe what a blissful experience it really was, because it was nothing I ever felt before. It was unconditional love type of feeling, and I just felt so embraced, and I felt this amazing compassion and knowing of so many things that I had never known before. It was all this information that started coming through me, and I felt this energy that was kind of pulsating in my fingers, in my fingertips. And I went down to the computer, and I put my fingers on the keyboard and they started to move and they started to type. And the messages were so beautiful and so amazing and profound, and they started teaching me. And as the teachings began to get even more profound and deep, they became more universal, and then I started to share them with other people, and I learned that they were really helping people, and they were helping them to feel more fulfilled in their life, to find their life's purpose, and that gives a lot of peace to know why you're here, and it gives a lot of perspective to just know that everything is good, and there's a greater plan in the universe to our life, and we all have a soul purpose, and when we awaken to that, a lot of our fears and a lot of our worries are no longer an issue. So it's really changed my life, and it's been amazing. I feel really grateful to have this connection in my life. I always saw other people with gifts, and I thought that would be amazing, but I never saw myself as one of those people, and so I learned to empower myself, and now I'm teaching other people to empower themselves and to go for it, because it's very possible, and what you put your focus on is what returns to you. And the more that you go inward and you are searching and asking, the more the answers will be presented to you.
Well, I have a feeling that we probably all feel the same way, that the path that we have selected, so to speak, and even that's kind of hard to verbalize, because we're never certain if it's something that we actually selected or it was sort of predestined, that this is your purpose, this is the direction of your life, whether it was through the contract that you may have made before you came into this life, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, we all still grapple with that. I mean, even to this day, in spite of the work that I do, and I don't sit and, you know, talk about it much. I mean, I just do it. And people seem to enjoy it, and I'm grateful, and I kind of leave it at that. And when people share whatever they share, I learned years ago that I'll save a great deal of embarrassment for myself if all my responses are codified down into two words: thank you, and end of story. But at the same time, unless we acknowledge what our purpose is and that we're good at it and so on and so forth, you know, I guess in a way it's kind of hard to get started sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It does take a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of inner strength. And that's why, you know, I've really made that my biggest teaching, I guess, for myself, is to learn for that strength to come through from myself to myself. And I'm no longer trying to reach outside of myself to get that support or acknowledgement or validation for mm-hmm. the things that I'm doing, because you're just going to be disappointed. And it's hard, you know, especially if, you know, your sole purpose and your interests are things that maybe your family doesn't understand or your friends don't understand. And maybe you aren't even ready to make that step. Maybe it's too risky. And we all deal with that at some point in our lives. And you, at a certain point, you learn that that is what is most important. That's what makes you fulfilled. That's what makes you healthier. And sometimes it takes a really big lesson to learn that, to get that point across. But if you are tuned in to your own emotions and you are tuned into your own feelings, and you don't resist what you're feeling called to do, it comes much easier. And so I found that my motivation is really to find peace within myself and to be able to have joy in what I'm doing and to not worry so much about what other people are thinking. But it is challenging, and even if you do know, even if you have clarity of what you're supposed to be doing here, there is questioning, too, and that's also part of the process. Like you said, you know, we question whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, and I've learned that from the higher perspective, from the universal perspective, you know, what is seen is every path is enlightened, every path is the right one. So there's not really this observation of right or wrong. The point as humans is to have free will and free choice. And so what we choose is perfect for that moment. And it may change the outcome in the future, but I haven't learned that there is one fate or one outcome that we're placed into and we have to follow through with. So I think that makes a lot of sense in regards to, you know, just being human. I think it would be a lot of pressure to have to, you know, have one outcome, one path. So free will is a good thing.
And I've even heard it said, too, that, as you say, one path a lot of times leads to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it's not set in stone that, okay, this is it, and this is what you do the rest of your life. But it's more, okay, this is what you're doing now, which is some training for the next step in your, shall we say, evolution.
Right.
Exactly. In this lifetime specifically. And that's one of the reasons why I never looked at it from the standpoint of any wasted time with different jobs that I had that maybe weren't related to, quote unquote, my purpose, because I was going to learn something there, something that may have absolutely nothing to do with the job that I was doing, but maybe in terms of the people that I was working with or the circumstances, or, you know, you don't know at the time. And I think that's one of the things that we really try to get a hold of. Let's talk about these teachings. You've shared with us a little bit about how you got your hands on them, so to speak. And I'm curious as to how you've put these together. Now, would you say that this information, would we use the word channeled or more inspired? And I guess really going back to your own spiritual upbringing as a child, for that matter, if that had any impact and what impact it may have had on coming in contact with these teachings. But tell us how these came about more specifically. Would we say channeled?
Yeah, you know, I would use that word because that's the word that I think most people would relate to what I'm actually doing. But then again, I've found that a lot of times when you use that word, you get put into another box and you get, you know, you get labeled as ultra spiritual or psychic or, you know, something of that sort. And, you know, I've found that it really doesn't matter what word you're using. What matters is the information that's coming through and how it is able to impact people, how it is able to be helpful for us as human beings. And, you know, as much as possible, I have tried to just make myself, I've just tried to label myself as me, and you know, I don't really want to be associated with any group or any religion or anything like that. I want people to realize that it's universal. And so, although I would, you know, reference it as a channeled book, I keep it open and I let people decide what it means to them. And that is how I grew up as well. I wasn't grown into a religion, and so it was very open to me to define what God meant to me. And for the majority of my life, I didn't really know what it meant. I was creative. I was inspired by many things, music being a big thing in my life, and I connected to a higher source through all of these creative endeavors, and music was a big thing for me. And I believe that anything that you connect to and centered to and you share with passion and inspiration, I feel that that all comes from a higher source, and you could call that channeled. You could call, you know, a poet a channel, or you could call a musician a channeler. And so I really learned over time that my definition of God is all that is. God is all that is, and not a man up in the sky that's judging us for our every action. And that empowered me a lot, and that's how the wisdom started coming through me, is that I didn't have a definition of God that I was grasping onto, and therefore a larger perspective could come through, something that was beyond my mind. Because as human beings, we perceive what we create. We perceive what we believe from our mind. And so the more that we're able to take down those layers, we can see clear the truth, the ultimate truth. And it's always a journey of doing that, and we're always going to have those veils as humans. We have a limited perception, but my journey has been about just trying to peel away those layers so that I can get more and more to the truth of who I really am and learn more about the universe as a whole, learn more about my connection to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my inspiration. So I believe my yearning and my questioning throughout all of my life has brought these teachings to me. It's always been there in my energy field, if you will. It's always been present,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't open up into physical words and clear understanding of these teachings until I was 16. And that's when, you know, the words really started coming through on my computer, clear, vivid, you know, very detailed messages. And it started as a personal kind of communication and a personal journey, helping me to evolve. And I used it in my daily life for mundane things, just to have guidance and to have that personal connection with a higher source that I knew I was connected to. And that's the big thing, is I realized that I'm not separate from the source energy.
You know, it's interesting how you're only 19, and I say only, not because I'm 55, but when I was 21, I was asking the same kinds of questions. I was curious. I still am. I still don't have all of the answers and probably never will, and that's just fine. But it upsets a lot of people when I ask the questions that I ask, you know, because the answers that I've been given to those questions don't make sense, you know. And I remember somebody telling me something, and this is something that has been shared with you as well. And at the time, I thought, well, that's a very nice compliment, I guess, because it puts a lot of pressure on me now. When they said to me that you're wise beyond your years, and I thought that's I'm gonna have something really big to live up to, because now I'm 55, and I don't know if I still am, or if now my wisdom is caught up with my years, or vice versa, and so forth. And so you're 19, and you have this book out that is addressing a lot of the questions, a lot of the issues, a lot of the things that I ponder, that most people ponder, even if they don't verbalize it. And a lot of folks won't verbalize it for the very reason that I ran into, and that was the fact that they wanted to emblazon a giant H on my forehead as a heretic. And I actually said, no, go right ahead. Just, you know, brand it on my forehead. I'm very proud to wear that, because I'm not willing to buy into what you're selling, because it doesn't make any sense. And when it starts to make more sense, Now, that doesn't mean that I stop asking the questions because the answers they're giving me, I keep asking the question until I'm able to somehow put it into some logical format. My belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that part of what we were given from the universe is a logical reasoning mind to figure things out. And to just throw all that out and say, well, because it's written here, that's all you need to know. And right. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't in all good conscience. Mm-hmm. Because do you remember when we celebrate? Well, maybe you don't, but remember the 500th anniversary of Christopher Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing 3 and 4 different stories of that man's life. One, he was a saint. One, he was the most evil, vile individual you would ever want to meet. And then one or two other stories that were somewhere in between. And the interesting thing, though, is that I find this fascinating, especially when it comes to history. He never actually discovered the mainland of what is now the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He landed on an island.
Yeah.
And I'm going, sure, give that island his name. I still haven't understood why the country is called America for a man, America Vespucci, who I don't have enough information on to even talk about. It's like, how did he, why isn't this country named, well, Columbia, Columbus Land, whatever. But I just constantly am asking those questions, and it sounds like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not satisfied with the status quo, as it were.
Yeah, it can be difficult because as we're human beings, we are, as you said, we're given a logical thinking mind. We're given a three-dimensional perspective of life, and that's what we see. And in my book, they explain it as we're put in a box. And everything outside of the box is the wholeness, it's source energy, it's God, whatever word you use for it. But as human beings, we have such a limited perception of what really is there. And for a long time, we thought the Earth was flat. You know, our minds tell us what is reality, and then we're forced to believe that in many cases. And some people, like you and I, we would challenge our mind and try to think outside of our perception. You know, because you look out at this earth, this land, there's no way that you could see that kind of beauty and think that, you know, we just got plopped down here and there's no creative source. You know, that makes me just want to keep discovering more and more and more. And it's easy to judge your mind. It's easy to believe your mind. And there's a reason for it, too, because as humans, or from the soul level, we came here to awaken to a deeper level, to awaken to our true, authentic nature, who we really are at our core. And we have to have that limited perception to really get the joy of awakening. And we want to do that. We signed up to do that. And it doesn't make sense from this perspective. We would wonder, why would we do this? You know, if we're so grand and so large and so infinite, why would we sign up to be small and in the box? And we can't think like humans to really understand that. And I wonder that some days, too. I wonder, why in the world did I sign up for this? I'm not feeling so connected right now. And it is hard. But like I said before, from the larger perspective, there's so much divine synchronicity, divine planning in every step of the way. And we knew that if we put ourselves in this small box, this small perception, that eventually we would start asking those questions. We would start wondering, I wonder if there's something outside of this. Like, I wonder what it is. And many of us go through different religions to try to figure out. We go to science. We go to, you know, whatever it is. We all have different passions and different drives. But we seek outside of ourselves for so long for the answers until there's no more seeking to be left. And then the end result is we go within ourselves and we find the answers. And so, actually, I just turned 20, so now I can't even call myself a teenager anymore. But it feels like I've been searching for so long, and people won't understand that necessarily because I'm 20. They think, well, your life has just begun. But I consider myself an eternal being, and I consider all of us to be eternal beings, and our soul can be searching for a really long time. Our soul can have such a grand evolution. And so from my perspective, I've been going at this for a really long time. And so to be here right now in a place where I feel like I'm getting a lot of that wisdom out and I'm fulfilling my soul's purpose more and more, that's really good to know. And it's like a celebration type of lifetime, I feel, for me and for many who are awakening right now. Because once you do have that wisdom that's been awakened within you, then going forward, you're going to be even more awake and more in tune and draw upon more of your gifts and talents and to really help heal our earth and help heal our soul, too. So it's a big grand scheme.
So being that you have been on the planet for only 2 decades, and that is by no means, and I felt this way even when I was 17, 18, heading towards 20, that just because someone was older than me didn't necessarily mean that they had all the answers, but at the same time, I didn't want to ignore the wisdom that they might be able to impart, that I might be able to learn from, that might spur something in my mind or in my higher consciousness, if you will. Do you kind of feel that way, that yes, you have that respect for, but it's not like just because they're your elders means that you have to listen to them?
Right. Yeah, I mean, totally 100% agree with that. It's been a balancing act for me because as a younger person, and I'm thinking back to when I was younger, I was very frustrated when people would treat me like I didn't really know anything. And even though I might be young and I might seem immature and small, I had so much going on in there. I had a lot of knowledge and a lot of emotional wisdom, I guess you would say, to the world around me. And so I didn't really understand when somebody would say to me, well, you don't really understand pain because nobody in your life has died, for example. And that can be used in any situation. You don't understand because... And when people came at me like that, it made me upset because, you know, I was feeling like I did really understand because there was an innate knowing of it and experience of it. And, you know, so it's been a balancing act for me, and I've learned over the years that there's a lot for me to draw upon in people that are older than me and people that are younger than me. And so I've learned to really respect my elders and people that I meet, friends that are older than me. I try to really consciously listen to them. And, you know, to be honest, I still do get triggered by things when people don't respect your, you know, they assume that you don't understand things. That still does trigger me, but a lot of times I'm met with people that know that there is an innate wisdom within everyone, no matter their physical age. And that makes me really happy when I do make connections with people like that, because then you can have a real conversation and a real connection with people. But I love to listen to other people's stories and draw upon wisdom, and I will listen to my younger cousins too when they tell me stories. I will try to draw upon, you know, wisdom from them too. And a lot of times they feel very unheard, as I often did when I was younger. And so I try to be a conscious listener for them, because it can be hard when you feel like your voice isn't heard and you feel like you're too small to really say something and for it to be important. You feel like it's silly and that it doesn't matter to other people. And it does. And when you do speak up, often it's profound. So we have to just encourage people of all ages to just get back in the habit and feel more confident with what they have to share, no matter what it is. I think all ages, it's important that we make those connections with people of all ages and get cultured and not just hang around our friends that are of our same age.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with our guest here on the program, the author of Teachings from God, Courtney Almondson, and Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Courtney Almondson, and she's the author of Teachings from God, and I would venture that from our conversation thus far, this is just what you've put out. You don't claim that this is some kind of holy writ or canon of scripture, but this is what you've been given, and all you're doing is sharing it with people, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't want to come off as anything that is, you know, trying to claim it as anything, because, you know, the bottom line is every teacher, every person out there is a teacher, and I've just taken the opportunity to share in the hopes that it will connect with people, and I believe it will, and I have observed that with people that have already been reading it and going on that journey. But, you know, I think it's wise to, you know, to leave things unlabeled and to not claim anything, because it's a personal journey and everyone is drawn to something different. But, yes, I'm just sharing what I've been given, and it's been humbling to me.
Now, you also have what some might consider another obstacle that might get in the way, and I'm curious as to whether it has. And the fact of the matter is that you're also a woman, and especially down through history, women usually aren't listened to much.
Yeah, it's been quite the evolution, and I think we are learning over time, and I think that the divine feminine is being more recognized, but again, that varies throughout the world, and, you know, there's very different cultures, and, you know, in some places in the world, women are still, you know, degraded severely, and it does hurt us collectively, because, you know, I really believe that there is a balance to the divine feminine and the divine masculine, and we really need that balance. We really need to not have either one of those sides overpowering another, because it really does impact humanity. It impacts how we're able to deal with issues as they come up, whether they're on the larger scale or they're personal. So I think, you know, in general, I think the divine feminine has always been weaker, but we're learning. We're learning by you know, just the history that women have had, and we're learning that there's a lot of wisdom to be shared and divinity within both men and women, and it's important to draw upon the wisdom of both. So I do think, though, that, you know, at least I've seen with a lot of teachers that inspire me a lot, you know, there's been struggle in coming out more. There's been a lot more struggle of claiming your truth and saying, this is who I am, and not feeling like you have to defend yourself or stand really strong in your shoes and not wobble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there is a little bit of, you know, just walking very slightly into it, and there's a little bit of uneasiness. But when you do stand strong in your shoes and start living your truth, it is inspiring to other people. And I think you're respected a lot more when you do that. You know, I just think of Malala, for example. You know, her whole story and the presence that she now has because of her strong, courageous acts, that is very inspiring. And though she had a very, though she struggled a lot in her life, she came out and people see her, and that act was in her favor in the end. So sometimes it's necessary to be seen, to go through that struggle. I think that whole evolution, I think it serves a purpose.
And it's one incredible woman too, by the way. I've had the privilege of, well, as most people probably, of seeing her on television and hearing her story, and it's remarkable who she has become because of what happened to her. That's just incredible.
Yes, she's a powerhouse.
So what were some of your earliest, shall we say, your earliest spiritual writings or teachers?
Yeah, well, the first one that always comes to mind when people really ask me this, how did you really become involved in spirituality? And it really began with a teacher, a Qigong master who is here in Minnesota in the Twin Cities where I live. And his name is Chuni Lin, and he's the founder of Spring Forest Qigong. And I was introduced to him when I was 9 years old. I had a family healing appointment with him. And me and my sister and my mom and dad were all in there, and I met this guy, and his energy was so amazing and powerful, and when he started doing healing on us, I really felt it. I felt it, and I connected with it, and I remember just thinking, I want to do whatever he's doing, and I didn't know what it was at the time. I just, you know, I just came with my parents, but I felt it, and he just had a really gentle, compassionate energy, and I wanted to be a healer right at that moment. I wanted to be a healer. and he has inspired me ever since then. I have gone through level 4 of the 5 levels of his training here in Minnesota, and I have gained a lot of spiritual knowledge and a lot of spiritual awakening from him and from my learning of Qigong healing and just deepening into my meditative practice and building a stronger connection with my divine. And so he has been really the foundational teacher in my life. And the amazing thing about him is it's never been about him. The work has never been about him. It's about you becoming your own healer, you becoming your own teacher. And so that's inspired me a lot to be that for other people. And I think that's so, so vital and important in anyone's life, is that you take the attention off the person and you learn to use the teachings and the wisdom, but you have to empower yourself and you have to learn to find those answers and that energy within you. That's true empowerment. And when we're always reaching outside of ourselves and trying to grasp, you know, from other people, we're missing the point. So I found him to be really special in that way, that, you know, he's not a guru that claims to know all of the answers. He's very, very humble, and he's just been a really big role model for me. So,
what is your next step here? I mean, you're just, you know, 20 years into this life, and already you've actually, in one sense, accomplished more than a lot of us probably will in our lifetimes. When what I'm referring to, of course, is you've already written your first book. I've been working on mine, which isn't a very big one. I've been working on it almost as long as you've been around, 16 years. And one of these days I may finish it. So tell me, what are you looking at as far as your future? Obviously, you want to continue doing what you're doing, but you also acknowledged early in the program that your purpose today may not be your purpose tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I'm constantly just trying to stay in the moment and to take on whatever I'm given. And you know, as I said before, I always thought I would be a classical violinist and performing in that way, and my vision did change and my motivations did change, but what is going to stay the same is my passion, and that energy is always funneling in different directions, but I feel that this work right now is going to remain with me, for my entire lifetime. And I would love to speak, and I would love to travel and to share this with people. But what I really want to make my focus is I want to connect with people one-on-one. And I want to always have my energy on connecting with people one-on-one. I don't want to be a distant figure. I don't want to be someone that's unreachable. You know, I don't want to, you know, let anything get myself in my head. You know, I want to remain humble. I want to remain in my flow and in my passion. And when something doesn't feel right, then I won't do it anymore. But I want to share this with as many people as I can. And I think, you know, travel is going to be a big part of it. I think speaking is going to be a big part of it. But, you know, I think my biggest goal is just to inspire people to find the same wisdom within themselves and to teach people that it's not really about me. It's not really about my book. It's about, you know, the universal wisdom that came through me, but it's still within every one of us. We're all connected to this wisdom, and it sits in our physical bodies. So I want to help people to empower themselves, because that is how we're going to find world peace, is we're going to find peace within ourselves, and we're going to learn to be more loving to each other.
Well, I hope so. That would be nice. Well, that's true, but I have to say there's nothing wrong with having expectations, especially along those lines. And my father is 80, he'll be 85 this year. And my mother, I believe, 81. And they're still doing well. They're healthy. They're enjoying their lives. They've lived here almost twice as long as I have. And I'm already frustrated with the way things are. And I want things to change. Part of the reason why we do this program is because we're looking for those new ways of living. We're looking for the ways that can benefit everyone. No one has to be excluded. If you don't want to be included, that's your choice. But we want the doors to be open to everybody. And the only condition I've ever put on it is, you have to be willing to let go of the old ways of thinking and doing things, because they don't work anymore, do they?
Mm-mm. No, yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, as people that are seeking for something different, seeking for better outcomes and seeking for more peace within ourselves, it's easy to get very emotionally attached to what is happening on the outside. And, you know, I don't want to be not tuned into those things. But at the same time, it's important to keep our focus on what we want to see, keep our focus on the light, because our attention, you know, where we focus our intention is where our energy goes. And even when our inspiration and our goal is to have world peace, and maybe it's not even world peace, maybe it's just peace in our city, you know, on a very small scale. If we're focused on all the things that are going wrong, and collectively everyone in your city is focused on all the things going wrong, that's where your energy goes, whether it's conscious or not conscious. And on a large scale, even as light workers, even as people that are, you know, trying to be the light for the world, we really have to try hard to focus our intention in that way and not be swayed. And it's very, very difficult, as there's a lot of chaos in the world and there's a lot of war and people are getting killed every day. Mm-hmm. It's hard. And you shouldn't be naive, but at the same time, be conscious to have a practice of being the light in the most pure way you can. And if it means sort of pushing out all the negative for a little while and pretending like it's not happening, then do it, because that is where your energy will go. Then you can be the most present and the most helpful if you're able to focus yourself in that way and really shine brightly. But it is, I know, it is hard when you know, watch the news and all you see is chaos. But in a way, it's designed to have us focused in that way all the time. And I don't believe that it's helpful. I mean, it's a good thing to be informed. But it's more important to really know what's most productive way to be of service. And I don't think it's by, you know, conversing about the negative all day and getting emotionally drawn into all of that, because collectively that weighs us down more. And so it's about awareness every day. And so for me, I've cut myself off from watching the news. I don't feel it is beneficial for me, because it will impact me too much.
Because of your empathic ability?
Yeah. In general, even if you're not super empathic, you know, I see a lot of people that will watch the news daily and the rest of their day is a mess because of it. Because all they think about and all they talk about is what's going wrong. And your focus is lost, Ben. Your focus is lost, and you're drawn into that chaotic energy. And then you're lost in that whole swirl. And we need less and less people that are lost in that big swirl. We need more people that are grounded and can help us all to ground down more. So that is my perspective.
Well, I completely agree with you on that. I completely agree with you on that because I don't, in spite of the fact that I have worked at a different news talk and information stations over the years, I, for example, my wife will ask me sometimes at the end of the day, did you hear about thus and such happening? No. Because I know that in our present reality, that man is being very unkind to his fellow man and woman and child in a variety of different ways. I know this has been going on. I know it's going on because I know that the history of our species tells us so. And it hasn't changed yet. We're working on that. So why do I need to continue to reinforce that? I know that these things are going on. Just change the dates and the names and the locations, and the activities are basically the same.
Exactly. And that's what we get confused about and turned around about, is that we keep focusing on nothing has changed. We're not making progress. And I'm even very hesitant to talk about world peace, to even mention that, because a lot of people will laugh in my face and go, yeah, right, it hasn't changed for thousands of years. What makes you believe that we're even headed in that direction? Because on the outside, it looks like nothing but evil, really. And it's all about where we're focusing our intention because, you know, and I've seen this over and over and over again, we all have so different realities, you know, all across the board, all across the world. You can see people that are, you know, in poverty, that are living happy, happy lives. And yet, you know, if you stuck maybe me there, out of my comfort zone, out of my reality of what happy is, I would be very unhappy and very uncomfortable. And it's about my perception. It's about how I choose to view the world and the conditions in which have made me believe something about the situation. And I believe that's how, you know, we all have very different realities, too. And, you know, how I will look at somebody that watches the news every day that's very unhappy, very depressed. And then somebody will ask me, well, how come you're having a good day? You know, there was a shooting and so many bad things are happening in the world. How can you be happy? That's very selfish. And though I understand the point, you know, my answer would be, you know, what's more helpful, to keep fueling that or to decide to actually be of service by being happy, by finding the positive, by choosing to make another person happy? You know, it's about your perspective. And I don't think by fueling the negative, by fueling all the chaos in the world, that we're actually helping, even if it's coming out of, you know, empath, you know, being an empath. Even if you're drawing upon that energy and you think that you're being of service by being sensitive, you're not really helping those people. So, you know, I've learned you can be an activist even if you don't go out there to help people directly. That you can be of service from a distance by focusing your intention by focusing your energy on what you want to see. You can heal people from a distance. You can heal the world from a distance. You know, I will blanket the earth in green light or golden light and, you know, just see everyone happy and see, you know, the Middle East getting along. And I'll visualize these things. And I do believe it helps. It's certainly better than talking about all the negative. And I think it's more helpful. And I think that is where our focus should really be.
Well, I again couldn't agree with you more on those points, especially when it comes to the issue of information that's out there. You know, what we're here to do is provide people with the source to better their lives. Tell me a little bit before we wrap up the program about your healing work.
Yeah. Well, I am certainly in process still of being certified in Spring Forest Qigong Healing and also in Craniosacral Therapy. So I'm working towards certification in both of those areas, but I would love to make a practice combining those two in the future. I love them both, and I will continue to study it. But like everything, it's a process.
Okay. Well, I'm very encouraged by, you know, what you're talking about, and I think that this is a wonderful thing. I hope that people will look into the work that you're doing, and hopefully they'll take it to heart.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, again, I thank you so much for your time. And before we wrap up the program, I just wanted to let you know that I wanted to ask you if you could give us answers to three questions. The first one is, who is Courtney Amundsen?
That's a good question. I would say first thing that comes to mind would be creative. I am really creative in many ways. I love art. I love music. I love being out in nature. I love going on camping trips deep in the wilderness, connecting with nature like that. I love being in solitude and reading a good book. I'm really into that. And, you know, I just find outlets which make me passionate and connect me more to my higher self. And music has been a big thing for me. So I think that really fuels me and sparks me.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to achieve a sense of real inner peace, that I can be present in this moment and be okay with this moment and not have conditions on what this moment should be, so not attached to any outcome. But I want to inspire people to find the divinity within themselves, to find the answers within themselves, and to be free. To be free of anything that's holding them back from their soul's purpose.
And who inspires you?
So many people inspire me, and I think this is probably the answer for a lot of people, but I am very inspired by Oprah. She's been a big figure for me in the last couple of years, especially with her Soul Super Soul Sunday. I love that show. I want to be on that show. It's amazing. But so many people inspire me. I love India Ari. She's a singer, songwriter, inspired me a lot. But anyone who is out there being true, being authentic, and really connecting people to something bigger and peace and love and light, that's my jam.
That's your jam.
That's my jam.
Okay. I like that. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's been a great pleasure to have the opportunity to talk with you. And hopefully people will, as I said, will go to your website, which happens to be the title of the book, folks, teachingsfromgod.com. That's teachingsfromgod.com. Greeting your soul and revealing the divine within. And we encourage folks to check you out and check out the book and get more information from you. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And we also invite you, if you should find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you come in studio to continue our conversation.
I would love that. I would love it.
Well, we encourage you to do that if you get a chance. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And we encourage people to get the book, Teachings from God. And I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.